you come. I will say this. I did that because Mark was just explaining the difference between peace and turbulence. God is not the author of turbulence, but he's the author of peace. The more we have peace, the more we will shape our world into a different way, because we will see it in a different way, because we see it as he sees it, in acceptance, not rejection. It's all it is.
Praise God. I wish Mark was going to stay and list a little bit longer, so I'm going to give you your cues before you leave real quick. I wrote down a couple things Mark was shared this morning, this afternoon, and I actually wrote down little phrases. That I got something from everybody that shared, and everything I wrote down, somebody, there was this key concept of who love is, what love is, and be love. And Mark was said this morning, said talking about an unknown and an unseen God, and he mentioned that people need to begin to see God in us. And that reflection begins when we become Christ-like, in the sense of that nature of Christ when he walked, Jesus, when he walked the earth. The action that we speak about, as Mark was saying, we need to begin to love in action. And now we are Christ-like by our love. And in the sense of Christ-like, not only meaning in who he is, but what he done, his actions, the words he shared, the love he shared, the power he shared. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read some scriptures. And what I want to do is, I just ask that you write these scriptures down. You don't have to follow along. And when you get a chance, to just go back and read these scriptures again after everything you've heard today. Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, in other words, that's already happened, may have power together with all the saints, that's all of us, to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ.
Come on.
And to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. John 21:15-17. I've heard we all know this scripture. Once I begin to read, and you may notice it just from me saying the verses, but something that I've never heard ministered on was the very last thing Jesus said each time he asked Simon Peter if he loved him. But listen, so when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, what did he say? "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Matthew 5:43-48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Brother Harold said, God is going to force us and love us and shape us to begin to accept the unacceptable. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than any others? Do not even pagans do that? So be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Luke 6:32-38. "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to the sinners expecting to be paid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Given it will be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for the measure you use, it will be measured to you." 1 John 3:16-18. "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and see his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." Yes. Is that not what the word says?
1 John 4:7-21. I know this is a lot of verses. And actually, 1 John 4 was used by a lot of people ministering today. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through Him. We have eternal life. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us.
Oh, that's all beautiful.
Listen to that. There's so much simplicity in what God has already showed us if we just listen. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. This was Brother Harold Lovelace. Brother Kirk. Okay. Now, let me share something with you. Because I actually, when I first read this scripture the other night, I stopped there. And then when I read this next scripture, it says, all who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in Him and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in His love. Now, I said, okay, Lord, so if You're Savior of the world, if I read this literally, it says, I have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, have God living in them. And God, this is what God showed me, what that was there. It was not so much me having to, hold Him into limitation, but if I don't proclaim that He finished the work, it hasn't. That's nonsense. He already finished the work. But what that means, I think what God was saying there, and this is what He shared to me, was the fact that how can we show that God loved us? Not so much what we speak, but what we show. We know how much God loves us, and He put our trust in His love. He put our trust in His love. A little bit of sovereign will there, isn't it? God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God live in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. That scripture there, it says, our love grows more perfect as we live in God. Like Brother Mark was shared a while ago, the love of God, His love for us is absolute. But we have to continue to show His love. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels fear, one of Mark's favorite scriptures. If we are afraid, it is fear for punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates his brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we do not love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? The unforeseen God that Marcus spoke about. How can we really express love until people begin to see God in us? And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. And now I want to give you a rhema word that God gave to me. We must represent a true love of God for others, one without any barriers. A love that does not condemn or judge, but accepts. For after all, is that not what He did for us? A love that does not reject or harms, but lifts and heals. Not only do we need to learn to accept the seemingly unlovable, we must begin to minister and help them at their need. The church is missing this, and it must begin at an individual level with our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We must get back to the fundamental teachings of Christ, the way He lived, the way He walked, the way He talked, and all that He had done for us from the foundations of the earth. While He was here, not only while He was here on earth, but everything He had completed before and after. To minister to those who the world ignores, the seemingly unlovable, and are lost to the only salvation that will truly change their lives. And that is seeing God in us so that they can come to know who they are in God and whose God they are. Unselfish, free-giving love is the best gift God can give us. It is a godly principle, a permanent power that comes from the very heart of God. Only those who completely submit to the love of Jesus can show it to others. Through the greatest example of God's love, Jesus, we become more like Him every day. When we surrender to Him, when self is submerged in His will, and then love for others becomes a natural way of living. And remember that as Christ showed us, love is an action word that desires nothing in return and is solely given for the good and health of another. We can become truly Christ-like lovers. 1 Corinthians 13 sums up the message of love, and I want to read this to you from the Message Bible. Mark loves the Message Bible, I do too. And we all know the scriptures of where it says what love is and what love does and what love doesn't do. But what I want us to really key on is the last few scriptures I read. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelistic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to this mountain, jump, and it jumps, but if I do not love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. For love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't reveal when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, in the essence of who God is, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps on going. Now, love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth. We heard that a lot today. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes are canceled. When I was an infant in my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but we hold on to the truth. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. Ooh, how close are we to that? But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is. And I just want to share something that God gave me when I was studying this. We all heard the scripture where, you know, we talk about being Christ Jesus and knowing who we are in God, knowing whose we are. And Jesus made a statement one time, and we all know when he spoke, and he said, and when he was asked, who do you think, you know, who are you? Or are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am that I am. Now, when we talk about, I thought this came to me when Mark was spoke about the unseen God, and when Mike Plague spoke this morning and mentioned love is his purpose, and Willie Cripps mentioned that the absence of God. And how did I get all that to come to this? When Jesus said, I am that I am, he was speaking of his wholeness, his completeness. He is who he is. There's no question, there's no doubt. So, and this is what the Lord showed me, he told me. He said that when we begin to represent him in truth through us, when the world sees his love, they're going to be able to look at us and say, there he is.
Yes.
Thank you.
I was reading his notes earlier, and I said, man, I'm going to share this. Now I realize, well, it's his message that we're going to do this. But let's see, where is it? Here, he said, through the greatest example of God's love, Jesus, we become more like him, we surrender him, and when self is submerged in his will. Is that not good?
That's good.
That's good, brother. And then when he said in the Message Bible, inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We only know a portion of the truth, but when God says is always incomplete. For when the complete arrives, our incomplete will be canceled.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, that's a good word. I was reading the scripture. My